タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
This episode of Love to Sew is all about socializing. We'll be talking about how to use social platforms to connect with fellow makers, Instagram hashtags, Facebook groups, online etiquette, and making new friends.
Yeah, or maybe new enemies.
Oh my gosh.
Good one, Helen.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome, everybody. We're feeling very professional today and also very giggly.
Oh my God. We just did a Skype test because we had to figure out how to record someone via Skype.
Yes. And
it was the last thing on our list of things to do.
And we're for this launching podcast. Next week, you guys. We're recording this like a week before, well, a little bit over a week before we launched. Mm-hmm. And we just finished cutting together a little teaser for you. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're getting super pumped. Like today when Helen came into the studio, I was just like giddy. I was practically jumping up and down like for the first 10 minutes.
You were so excited. It was so cute. I thought it was because you were happy to see me.
Well, I was also happy to see you because you've been away.
I know.
I want to know how you're doing. Like, let's just shoot the breeze for a little bit.
Okay. I'm doing well. I just got back from vacation on Hornby Island, and it's super hazy in BC this summer because of all the forest fires. Mm-hmm. So it was a little different than our usual trip to the island because there was no sun, but it definitely made me feel really blessed to be able to visit such a beautiful place and also to not live somewhere where the fires are evacuating people. So
So sad what's going on right now in BC. I mean, it happens every year, but mm-hmm. for some reason this year it seems like it's worse.
Yeah. It's definitely traveled a lot further south than usual.
Yeah.
And there's more fires, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And the haze is just kind of lingering for longer than it normally does. Hopefully that's going to clear up soon for everybody.
Yeah. Some rain would be nice.
Yeah. but I did see that picture that you posted on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like all moody. You're on this like rock.
Yeah.
On the beach.
And I was giving Sam attitude too. I was like, what? Take the picture.
You guys should go check it out. It's a really cute picture. Maybe we'll link it in the show notes too. But yeah, no, that was great. I felt like I was there with you. It was
a
great picture.
It was a really fun trip. We had a really nice time.
Nice.
And I'm happy to be back. And I've just started drafting my next pattern.
Exciting. You're on to the next phase because mm-hmm. you released the Suki kimono like a couple weeks ago.
I know. So this is like the fastest I've ever gotten on a new pattern. But now that I don't have my day job anymore, I can actually like get down to business a lot quicker.
Congratulations on the Suki release.
Yes. Thank you so much. It went really well.
Good.
I'm very happy with it.
That's awesome.
And I'm excited for the next one. It's just sort of like the ball's got to keep rolling, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay. How are you? I'm good. I'm good. I went to Montreal for a week. That would have been a couple weeks ago. And since I've been back, it's just been like, go, go, go. Natasha,
abandoned
my office
you.
Assistant.
She abandoned
me. No, she took a week off or almost just about a week off. Oh my goodness, did I miss her. Never leave me again, Natasha, because it made me remember like how much work it is to pack and ship orders. I hadn't done it in a couple of months, and then I had to sort of jump back in and ship out, you know, a whole bunch of orders over the course of a week. And when she got back, I was like, thank God. so that was interesting and super busy, and now it's like just the huge
mm-hmm. your shelves are like bursting with fabric though.
Yes, actually it is pretty exciting. Like I started utilizing a new shelf. We had like an empty shelf on the rack that we're holding the fabrics on, and then I was like, we need to use this empty shelf. How exciting.
Yeah, because you have like tensile twill in every color now.
Oh my gosh, tensile twill, you guys. Oh, it's the best.
I was looking at it this morning. I was gonna order some, but I couldn't pick a color.
Yeah, and I've got lots more fabric coming in the next few weeks. So,
okay, tell me for a second about Fabric Friday, because you started doing that this summer.
Fabric Friday is a little like special thing that I do for my Instagram followers every Friday. So in the morning, I'll post on my stories one group of fabrics that I'm putting on sale for 25% off for one day only. And it's really just my Instagram followers that get to see that. So, and sometimes only people who watch my stories, because I don't always post about it on my actual feed. And yeah, it's totally random. I just like pick a fabric the day before, whatever I feel like putting on sale. So it's always a surprise. And yeah, it's I think it's good for me and it's good for my followers. It's like a win-win.
It's so fun. I look forward to Fridays just because I want to see which one it's going
to
be.
Ooh, yeah. And I do, I try to give like a little video, you know, close up of the fabric so you can see how it moves. It's just like a fun little bonus that I like to give to my Instagram followers. Also, I reached 10K followers on Instagram like a couple weeks ago. And it was, I was on holiday in Montreal with my family when I like hit the 10K. And I was like, oh. And everyone was like, what happened? And I was like, I reached 10K. And everyone was like cheering and clapping. It was just such a cute moment. But this was really exciting for me. And I had been looking forward to it because on Instagram, when you have a business Instagram account, they offer the function to put a link in your Instagram stories. So normally you can only really have one link associated with your profile. And that's the link that's in your profile. But for business accounts, you can put links in your stories. So if I post a video of a close-up of a fabric that I want people to click through and go and see, I can put a direct link right in that story and they can just swipe up and see that link, right? But you only get that function if you have over 10K followers.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So I have been waiting. And also just the fact that 10,000 people decided to follow me on Instagram is like super exciting and flattering. That's
pretty amazing. I can't wait to get to 10,000. I have like a couple thousand left to go, but
I think you'll get there. You're gonna
get there
this
eventually
year.
You know, all things in good time. But I can't wait to get that feature because every time I put up a blog post, I have to change the link in my profile to match the blog post link, and then I'd be like, link in profile, but then people have to go to my profile. It's so silly. I'm like, I want the swipe up feature so bad.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's so great for, yeah, not just for like businesses that sell products,
not even selling bloggers. Stuff. I just want a link to my site or other people's sites or whatever it is, you know. So yeah, how often do you check your Instagram every day? Like, be honest,
like 50 at least.
Okay, good. I thought you were gonna say like 5 or something.
No,
I'm,
I was
definitely
thinking
up
like
there.
How many times per hour, and then how many hours am I awake? I mean, at least 5 times an hour, which is, when I say it out loud,
it's pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy, but it's just one of those things, like when you're taking a little break, go walking to the washroom, like any moment where I have like a little bit of downtime, that's not even like including when I'm walking home or on in public transit or whatever, like I'm just always checking it.
Me too. But I don't feel bad about it. I think for me, like I used to check social media all the time, basically since, you know, the invention of Facebook and connecting online and social media kind of way. I checked it constantly. And at least now that I've curated my feed to be only sewing, I'm not like looking at like what people ate for lunch or like you know, like just stuff that really doesn't matter. Like I'm engaged with the people on Instagram and what they're making and
and how many people do you follow, do you know off the top of your head?
Probably like 1500 maybe.
Oh, that's a lot. I think I only follow like 500 or 600. 575.
Yeah, I'm at like 1700.
Wow.
I know. I follow people like, I think when I first started, I followed a whole bunch of people through Me Made May. And then now I'll probably follow someone like every day or two.
Do you feel like you can keep up with everything?
No.
No.
No, I'm sure I don't see everybody's posts. Yeah. And Instagram will now show you more often the people that you like seek out if you're searching for somebody because you want to see like what your friend's up to. They're going to make sure that that stuff gets to the top of
your
feed.
They have that algorithm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So definitely a lot of people are going to get buried, but I don't know. I like following people.
No, I mean, that's great.
I'm feeling judged.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make you feel judged. I just, I thought I have a girlfriend who's like, oh my God, you follow 600 people. That's insane. I think she follows like 100.
I mean, you can't follow that many people. It's not even possible, right? So I guess I'm not really following those people, but they're on my list of people that I thought were cool at the time that I followed them.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I think Instagram is definitely my favorite platform, if it isn't already clear. I think that they have shaped like the way that we socialize on the internet. Other than like close friends and family, how do you connect with people? It's mostly on Instagram.
I mean, I use Facebook Messenger a lot for talking to my friends and like Facebook event groups and stuff, but I don't scroll through my Facebook feed anymore. And I know a lot of people have switched over as well, but that being said, like my parents' generation is still like definitely in the Facebook train. You know, I haven't switched over to Instagram. Yeah. So how do you separate your personal and your business when it comes to your social media? Do you have a clear divide?
Yeah, I have a business account, Blackbird Fabrics, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a personal account, which is just my name, Caroline Somos. Like, I'm not really personally, in my personal life, not a huge social media person. Obviously, for business, you kind of need to be. And I do enjoy socializing. Mm-hmm.
That's SEW,
you
this
guys.
Is so we're not audio friendly.
Really into the sewing puns today. But yeah, mm-hmm. I keep it separate. You don't keep it separate though. You've got Helen's Closet for everything.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to go back and look at my original Instagram account, it was Anne per se and. And I still have that one, but I never post to it anymore. So it's been like 2 years since I posted to it.
I
was super active on that, like just my everyday life, you know. The same thing that other people post, their dog. What they ate for lunch, that kind of stuff. And then when I started Helen's Closet, I switched only to sewing because I realized that that was what I most enjoyed sharing. And also I wanted to follow other sewing accounts and just like basically curate my entire feed to be sewing and my entire output to be sewing and just everything sewing because that's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on Facebook, I have my Facebook, Helen's Closet Facebook account, and then my personal account. And people from the sewing community do follow me on my personal account on Facebook or friend me.
Yeah. Sometimes. A couple of people have friended me too. Yeah,
which
years,
I'm totally fine with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really post on Facebook, so it doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah, same. I'm not a huge Facebooker.
Yeah. But since the advent of Instagram stories, it's definitely, I've noticed a switch with people sharing their business stuff sort of in their feed and in their pictures and then sharing their more personal stuff in their stories. And I really like that balance. I think it's like perfect because the stories only last 24 hours. So you can put up, you know, walking with your dog or what you're doing that day or what your outfit was that day and not have to worry about, I guess, this idea of like clogging up your feed with sort of stuff that people might not really care about.
Yeah. So the idea is that your feed, and by that we mean the pictures that you're posting on your Instagram page, mm-hmm. The ones that stay up forever, that is a more curated look into your life. Yeah. And then the Instagram stories, you don't think about them as much.
Yeah.
I love watching Instagram stories. Me personally. Too. I think I watch Instagram stories way more than I spend time scrolling through my Instagram
feed. Definitely the first thing I do.
100%. Yeah. And there's certain people that I particularly enjoy following in Instagram. Always shows them to me first. So it's like, it's almost addictive. You want to know when they post something new and you don't want to miss it once you get used to following specific people. So
The engagement is higher on stories, I think.
Yeah.
And I love getting personal messages from people. Like every time I post a story, I'll probably get one or two direct messages from people. And then I can actually have a conversation with those people and really feel like I'm making a connection. Whereas, I don't know, I mean, you can obviously have a conversation back and forth in comments, but you know, there's other eyes on you, so it's not private and it's just not the same.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So we just jumped right into talking about Instagram. I know. Hey, that's okay. No, that's fine.
That's because that's our life.
So, okay. So today we're going to be talking all about socializing in this internet age.
Thanks, Mom.
If you're new to sewing or if you want to like just discover new people to connect with online, we want to just kind of talk about different ways that you can do that.
Yeah. There are things about Instagram that I am learning every day. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when I was like, oh, if you put your finger down on the screen, the story pauses.
Oh,
you
were
like,
God.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
I was so excited because I was like, now I can pause it and actually like look at what they're showing because it all goes by so fast.
Yeah, for sure.
And also if you went through someone's entire story and you want to go back and watch it again, all you have to do is go to their profile and click on their picture and then you can watch their story right from the beginning.
Yes.
Just because you watched it once doesn't mean it's gone forever.
Yes. And if you didn't know, here's another like...
These
hot
are like tip,
hot tip, you guys. If you want to write a comment or message somebody about a specific story while you're watching it, you just have to swipe your finger upwards and it'll bring a little text box onto the screen and then you can just write your comment or whatever. And then it'll send it to their direct messages and you can sort of have a conversation with that person there. Mm-hmm. Another quick thing that I will mention is that if you don't check your direct messages, a lot of the time things will get filtered out. So if you go to your homepage on Instagram, on the right-hand side, there's like a little paper airplane and that'll take you to your direct messages. So it'll be a list of all the people that you've messaged with. And then a lot of the time you'll have something that says like message requests. So when someone sends you a message and you have never chatted with them before, it won't just come right through and notify you that you received a message. You have to actually go in and check your direct messages and approve the requests for communication. So mm-hmm. go and check your direct messages. You might have a bunch of stuff sitting in there, and make it a habit of checking it every week or something, just to see if someone has messaged you, because if they haven't before, it won't notify you until you approve their request at least once.
Yeah.
Hot tip of the day.
Mm-hmm. And you can also swipe right to get your Instagram story camera up, and swipe left to get to your direct messages.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know the swipe left thing. Cool.
Yeah. I've definitely realized that direct message request pile a while ago, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, no, I remember when I noticed it too. Like, I mean, it's my business account, so people were sending me like questions and special requests and stuff, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I missed these messages. So yeah, definitely check it out, you guys. You might have some little gems waiting for you in there. What are your thoughts about like having a curated feed versus not curating a feed? Do you curate your feed?
No, I'm bad at, I shouldn't say I'm bad, because I think you kind of have to decide if you care or not, and I've opted to not. But I like when I go to other people's feeds and they're really beautiful, and I can appreciate having the same aesthetic for most of your photos and stuff like that. But I'm kind of a messy person, so I think just having a messy feed is me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, are there any people that you follow that you really like their feeds?
Beth from So DIY does a fantastic job curating her feed. All of her pictures have a really similar style, and she does like sort of series. So she'll do like outfit posts where she like folds all of her clothes nicely on the floor and does these.
Oh, like a flat lay?
Yeah, a flat. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
It's called a flat lay.
Yeah. Oh, industry talk. yeah, she does a flat lay, and it looks really nice. And yeah, she comes to mind. What about you?
I'm actually like on my phone right now trying to find some that I like, because like I said, I look at stories so much more than I look at people's feeds.
Yeah, when do you go to people's feeds?
Yeah.
Maybe if you're deciding whether or not you want to follow somebody, that's when I go to people's feeds. Mm-hmm. And then I will check to make sure that there aren't too many pictures of like their dog or something. Not that I don't love your dog, but I just want sewing.
Yes.
I want all sewing.
Helen, all sewing all the time for Helen over here. And if you are wanting to curate your feed, the idea is kind of like you want to keep it in a similar color palette or with the same background on most of your photos. Mm-hmm. And you sort of have like a set number of like backgrounds and like ways that you photograph, so it all looks pretty consistent.
Yeah, and people can recognize your posts when they go up.
Exactly. Yeah, personally, I don't really curate the Blackbird Fabrics feed.
It seems like you do though.
I do like keep in mind that, like, you know, I normally photograph on a white background, but like if you look, I don't think that my feed is necessarily curated. I definitely don't do it intentionally.
Yeah, it looks really nice though. Like, I think there's definitely a consistent look here.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, if you compare yours to mine,
that's
true. I mean, I like to take pictures. Every time I do a blog post, I take a picture in a different place. So
mm-hmm.
that's sort
Which
of my thing.
Which is really awesome. I love that you always have like interesting, beautiful backgrounds, and you're always outside or almost always outside.
It's funny because what we do is we wander up and down alleyways and try to find like cool garage doors is my like go-to background because they're so colorful. And guys, like, we're not saying that if you want to build your following that you need to stop sharing pictures of your dinner. Like, please share what you want to share. You do you.
Yeah. How about hashtags? Let's chat hashtags.
Okay. Hashtags. I actually had to have a friend explain to me how hashtags worked when I first started using Instagram. So maybe mm-hmm. we should do a little like, what's a hashtag?
Yeah.
Okay. So you tag your post with a hashtag, and that hashtag is a link to all other posts on that platform that have been tagged with that hashtag. So if I hashtag my post Helen's Closet, and then you click on that hashtag, you're going to be taken to a list of posts that have my hashtag.
Mm-hmm. It's a really great way to discover new things, because if you, let's say, go and click on a hashtag that's like sewing or handmade fashion or something, mm-hmm. you can go and discover other people who have tagged their photo with that hashtag, and it's a good way to find new people to follow. For me, I use it for my business, the hashtag Blackbird Fabrics, and then my customers will use it, so I can go on the hashtag Blackbird Fabrics and see all the things that customers have made with my fabric, which is like the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
So
super great.
It can be used for business. It can be used for just like discovering people. And there are just like an infinite amount of hashtags out there.
Yeah.
So you can find ones that you like, you can make one up, mm-hmm. you can, you know,
yeah, you can start one if you want to run a contest or some kind of social event. You can use them just like humorously, mm-hmm. like there's lots of hashtags like hashtag sorry not sorry, hashtag
yeah
never gonna happen,
yeah. yeah it's almost sometimes a hashtag can almost be like a continuation of your description of your photo yeah. in like a funny way, for sure.
Hashtag I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. Also, I find sometimes people use hashtags to almost like group photos in their own feed. So let's say if you wanted to have a hashtag that was all like Helen's closet, handmade wardrobe or something, you know,
smart.
Then you could hashtag all the things that you made and then you can go back and look and see just wardrobe posts.
Why did I never think of this?
Something like that. what are some good ones that you use, Helen?
I use obviously hashtag sewing, hashtag handmade wardrobe. I sew my own clothes. I make my own clothes. DIY sewing life. I love sewing. Mm-hmm. Indie patterns, indie sewing, me made wardrobe,
me made every day.
Me made every day. That's a good one if you're like sharing your outfit and you're wearing something that you've made. I like the me made every day hashtag a lot.
Hashtag I sew. Hashtag, did you say DIY fashion? Mm-hmm. Handmade fashion.
Yeah.
We love Heather from Closet Case Files. Yeah. We like use her as like a meter for a lot of things. I think
we're a lot like, of people
what does
do?
Heather do? Because she's need a bracelet. Just so amazing at what she does. But she does a really good job with hashtags. Mm-hmm. Beth from So DIY mm-hmm. is another one who we've also mentioned twice in this episode. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Beth. You should come on the show. I don't really pay that much attention to what people put in their hashtags unless I'm like trying to figure out what it is that they're sharing.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated when people post things and are like, I love my new dress that I made. And then there isn't a hashtag.
Yeah.
I get
like
mad.
Yeah. Right. So you can also hashtag like specific things. So let's say you're posting a pattern. You want to hashtag that pattern so that your make shows up on that pattern's
feed.
So for example, hashtag Suki kimono, if you click on that hashtag, you'll see all the Suki kimonos that other people have made. It's a great way to see patterns on different bodies, shapes, sizes.
That's probably what I spend most of my time doing on Instagram, is looking at hashtags for patterns and planning my next few makes and stuff. I love that. It's a good way to discover people too.
Also, I just thought of something. Oh my god, we're just gonna talk about Instagram this whole episode.
Sorry guys.
You so can actually you can save posts. So if you wanted to save something to look at later or...
But do you do this? I never save things.
I do it once in a while.
Okay.
But it's mostly like things that people have made that I found really inspiring and I'm like, I want to make something similar to that, or I think this is really beautiful. And you can also make collections now. That's a new feature, I think.
Oh, cool. So you can... It's sort of like a little Pinterest board almost.
Yeah. So you can save something and then put it in a specific collection. So I could save clothes and food and... blah blah blah.
That's a cool feature. I think I'm going to try and utilize that more. So the other thing with hashtags is that some people will put them in their posts and other people will put them in their comments, and I just looked this up today because I was curious if there was any like value to this method, and there isn't anything other than aesthetics. So if you want to sort of keep your caption really clean and not sort of muddy it up with hashtags, and you can put your hashtags in the comments. It works just as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you tag people? Like if you make something of another designer, would you tag them in the post?
Yes, actually. So I started doing this fairly recently, which I think is a nice extra step to do. So when I'm, let's say, captioning a post with a specific pattern designer's pattern, I will hashtag that pattern.
Yeah.
I will mention that designer in the caption. So this is at True Bias hashtag Ogden Cami. So I'm mentioning True Bias. Mm-hmm. I'm hashtagging the Ogden Cami, but then I will also go and tag the actual photograph with True Bias. So the difference between hashtagging and tagging, basically tagging is when you're posting the picture, there's like a little button that says tag this photo, and then it'll take you to the photo and you like click on the little part of the photo that you want to tag. So you just like put your finger down and then you can start typing in someone's username, and you can specifically tag an account in the photo. So then people can like put their finger on the photo when they're looking at it, and it'll show all the people that are tagged.
So you can tag a picture of somebody as being that person, but you can also tag your own picture if you made a designer's make, you can type. People do that to me all the time. I love it. Because then I get a notification for that, and it's great. Mm-hmm. And I also love when people mention me in the comments, because I do check my hashtags fairly regularly, but if you actually tag me in your post or mention my name in your post, then I will be more likely to see it right away. And I want to see your makes.
Yeah.
And you can also hashtag and tag people in Instagram stories. And it's really, honestly, pretty exciting when people are storying about you. It's my favorite thing.
I agree.
Yeah. Have you ever done a live Instagram story?
I haven't. Have you?
No, I was thinking that we really should have done one for the Blackbird Fabrics launch party. Missed opportunity. True.
I haven't done it. I have watched a few Instagram lives. One thing that I think they need to work on is that the ones that I have watched, there were like a lot of creepers in there making really inappropriate comments.
Oh, yeah.
I did see somewhere someone mentioned like a workaround is that right before you start your live video, you make your account private.
Oh.
So that not just anyone can discover it. And then after you're finished, you unprivate it.
Yeah. You should just have like a button on the video where you can be like private or not private.
Yeah.
And make it faster.
So then if it's private, only the people that already follow you can watch the live video. Whereas if you have a public profile, then you start a live video, then you end up on this like discover feed on Instagram.
Yeah, because they're really promoting the live video feature.
Yeah, and then someone, just anyone can go and watch it, and you end up with some like, you know, unsavory characters making inappropriate comments. So that kind of put me off a little bit.
How many people watch your Instagram stories? On average.
Ooh, I can tell you. I have my stats. So yeah, it depends on the story. And a lot of the time, the first one will get more views than the ones afterwards, because if someone isn't interested in seeing that particular thing, they'll just skip over it. So yeah, it's about 15%. About 1,500 people watch my stories.
That's good.
How about you?
About like 500 to 700, generally. Yeah, if I'm doing, like, I'll sometimes do little sort of sewing sessions where I'll just like share each step as I'm sewing, and people drop off pretty quickly. Like, I really like watching those, but of course not everybody's gonna like watching those. But I also don't story that often. I'm trying to get better at it, but I feel really self-conscious.
I get that. It's hard to do it consistently. I have so much respect for the people who Insta story every day.
Every day.
And I love watching them. Yeah. But
that's the thing, is I love watching them, and I am literally never thinking to myself like, what's going on with her hair, or like, what?
It's true.
Like, why is the lighting bad? Like, I'm just watching it out of the joy of watching it. So I think you kind of have to let it go a little bit if you want to share online, like let go of your self-conscious feelings.
It's like another level of opening yourself up to the world, right? Yeah. How do you deal with that, like being social? Is there a line that you kind of have in your head that you don't cross in terms of what you share and what you don't share?
I mean, I stick to sewing related stuff, so that I guess that's kind of the line. Like, I will talk sometimes about like what I'm doing today or going for a walk or whatever, sharing that kind of stuff. But I don't share a lot of like personal stuff about family or I think like if you have kids, that's a line that a lot of people draw, is like, no, I'm not going to put pictures of my kids. But some people do, and that's great. And if you sew for your kids and you want to share stuff you make for them, I love looking. They're so cute. But yeah, I don't have it like a defined line. I think it's more of a gut instinct than anything else. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, because I mostly post to my business account, I think the line is pretty clear. Yeah. Although sometimes I do wonder, like, if I have a bad day or a really good day, sometimes I'm tempted to share about it.
Yeah.
And often I don't, just because I'm not the most open person on social media. I don't think I let people in as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
It's almost like I have to push my boundaries a little bit on that level. And that is a goal of mine this year, is like, I've been trying. I love following the accounts where you really feel like you're getting to know that person, even if it's for a business account. Like, when you can see the person behind that business and get to know them a little bit better and see like more of like an inside look of their life and their what they do every day, I love that. Those are the accounts that I get attached to, that I go back and check every day.
Yeah.
So I want to be that for my followers. It's just really scary to open yourself up like that, and it's almost like a shift in your mindset that has to happen. So
like, instead of doing that, you're gonna release an hour-long podcast every week where you talk directly into people's ears.
Yeah, that's super logical, isn't it? Well, I mean, it helps that you're here, Helen, because I think that like you're like a buffer. It's not just me talking into a microphone. We're together. So
can you imagine,
it's like a little bit
if it was
easier,
just like a solo show?
Yeah, no, I would have a lot of trouble doing that.
Okay, so obviously we love Instagram, but there's tons of sewing communities on Facebook. Do you belong to any of these groups on Facebook?
I am a member of the bra making forum.
Me too.
Which I love reading the feed, but to be honest, I don't often post. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever posted.
Well, I've only ever made like two bras, so.
Yeah, so that's the only Facebook group that I'm a part of, but I will say that I'm not a huge Facebook fan. So yeah. I don't really seek out groups, but I know you're a part of a few great Facebook groups. So tell me about those.
I am a part of the Dressmaking Blogger Network, which actually does a monthly challenge where they will say, like, this month, if you want to participate, you know, we're doing X. So I think August is wedding season.
Oh, fun.
So if you're making a dress for a wedding, you can post it in there. So that's like a good way to stay motivated, and then also just a good place to connect with other bloggers or to find new blogs. I'll find new ones for the Wednesday Weekly in there all the time. It's a good group. I like it. It's positive. And then I'm also in the Curvy Sewing Collective, which we talked a lot about last episode, but that's an online community for curvy sewists. I mean, really any size, but if you're struggling with any fit issues or you want to get into sewing for your curves and meet other curvy sewists and learn a little bit more about fit and stuff like that, then that's a great group to join.
Yeah, one thing I noticed about Facebook in the one group that I am in is that there's a lot of people seeking out advice.
Yeah.
It's a good platform for that. I don't know that Instagram is the place to do that most of the time.
I use Instagram for advice, actually, like, about like which buttons to pick for something. Like, I see people, a lot of people doing that kind of stuff, and it's great for people to weigh in.
But if you're having a issue like fitting a blouse or something, or like a pair of pants, you're probably not going to post a picture of your butt on Instagram and ask people what they think. It's more of like a Facebook group thing.
Well, Facebook groups at least are a little more private, so the people that they let in are there because they want to participate in that group for the quote unquote right reasons. But yeah, I think the difference is primarily just because on Instagram you're on your phone, and on Facebook you're typing on the computer and you can add links. Whereas on Instagram, if you're like, oh, you should do a full bust adjustment, here's an article. Oh, I can't link to it. Sorry.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
I wish Instagram did links, actually, but
yeah, me too.
Maybe one day. So yeah, there's a lot of people on Facebook asking for advice, but I will say there's also a lot of people sharing who are not asking for your advice.
Yeah.
And when it comes to social etiquette, it's really not appropriate to give fitting advice if they haven't asked for it. And the reason for this is that everyone's at a different level in their sewing journey, and like what might look like an area that could be improved to you might be an area that for them was a huge accomplishment. And you never want to be diminishing someone else's achievement. So only offer your feedback or your critique if they've asked for it.
I would agree with you on that. And I also think that people have different standards for what they think is acceptable in what they wear.
Yeah.
So some, you might be a very, like, a perfectionist. You might be somebody that likes to pinpoint all of the fit issues in a garment and fix them for next time. Personally, I mean, obviously, if something is digging in or like too tight, I'm going to fix it. But if I've got like a little crease line on a blouse or like a dress, I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure out the fit issue there. So different people have different expectations in terms of fit. And you don't want to assume that someone has a problem with fit if they don't feel like it's a problem. And then when you point it out, it's like it kind of makes them feel worse about their make. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one, Helen.
And generally, I like to think people are trying to be supportive and like critique in a positive way. But it doesn't come across that way. If you can't like say it to someone's face and like emote that you're like just trying to help it. It can be really hurtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you post on those Facebook groups or are you mostly
I'm a lurker.
Lurker. Yeah.
I post in the dressmaking one when I do my like weekly blog post to share that. But other than that, not really.
All right. So Facebook groups are a great way to socialize. Mm-hmm. Another way to socialize is on
online communities.
Okay, we do want to give a little bit of a disclaimer on this one because neither Helen nor I really use online communities to socialize, so we're not super experienced in this area, but we did want to mention it because it's for some people, it's not for other people. So you know, it could be for you, it could not be.
Yeah,
you do you. But some great examples are Colabora, Textilia, Indie Sew, Pattern Review, and The Fold Line. And you can go and check out those websites and discover what they're all about. I think
that there's an opportunity for an online community to be really successful in the sewing world. I just like it, I don't know what it's going to take. It's like all of these ones are great. It's just everyone has to get on there. You know, that's the thing. So, I mean, some of them, they're all growing at a steady pace and they offer different solutions. I think the Fold line probably has the most like community socializing capabilities. Mm-hmm. And I am a member on there. I have to like remind myself to go on and post and stuff.
Yeah. And basically these online communities, it's a place where you create an account and then you can post pictures of your makes, links to blog posts if you have them. You can sort of curate patterns that you like. There's all different ways to use the website, and different websites offer different options. But basically, it's like a separate community where you can interact with sewers or makers.
I do use them for looking up patterns. Like, I love using IndieSew and the Fold line and Textilia and pattern review. Yeah, so if you're looking for a specific pattern, you can go on these websites and you can like filter down, like, I just want to look at pants patterns, or I just want to look at sweater patterns. So that can be really helpful.
Some of them have like stores built in where you can actually buy the pattern.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's really interesting. I've never gotten into it, but you know, it's cool.
It's not too late.
It's not. That's true. It's not too late. And we do want to hear from you guys. So if you have any online communities that you love using, if you want to tell us how you socialize online, we would love for you to give us a call or send us an email. We have a voicemail line. It's 1-844-739-9428. That actually spells out so what. So 1-844-SEW-WHAT. So what? And you can also email us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your feedback on this. Mm-hmm. After all, it's all about socializing. So socialize with us.
Yeah.
Get in touch. Mm-hmm. And we want to play your voicemails on upcoming episodes.
So, I like, really want to play a voicemail.
Please call us.
Have you ever socialized in person, Caroline?
Well.
IRL. Actually,
yes. I mean, my first experience socializing was in person because I met our friend Tasia, and she was the one who introduced me to the online sewing community. So like my first socializing experience was like IRL. Mm-hmm. And then I started socializing online, and then I met you. We've done a couple of meetups with various people. Mm-hmm. At my office warming party a couple of weeks ago, which was so super fun. A whole bunch of people came, customers and local people who sew. So we got to meet a lot of locals there, which was so much fun. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, I love meeting up with people. If anyone's ever coming to Vancouver and they want to hang out, I am so down. We can grab coffee or go to the fabric store or like whatevs. Yeah, I really enjoy it. And I think it's just a great way to like deepen the connection with the community and in some cases make connections that will like boost your business or help you out in the future. Like, it's all about who you know. It's such a cheesy statement, but it's so true. So like the more that you can network and get to know people, like the better off you're going to be.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So if you like somebody on Instagram or social media, how do you like approach this?
I will say, don't email them and tell them you had a dream about them.
Oh, no.
Or do, because or do. That's what Ellen did to me. No, you want to be friendly. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be too pushy. Mm-hmm. I'm like a big fan of the phrase no pressure. Yeah.
I mean, no pressure.
Yeah, because I think like some people aren't necessarily open to meeting up.
Yeah,
you don't want someone to feel bad about saying no.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like reach out, probably in a direct message or an email, if you can get your hands on that person's email.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm interested in meeting you. This would be really great. Do you want to have coffee? Mm-hmm. No pressure.
No pressure.
There's some sample script for you guys. I think that's what I would do. Do you have any advice for peeps wanting to meet up?
No, I think that like that would make me feel comfortable. I think it's ideal if you have some kind of like existing communication with that person, like whether it's just like a few comments on their blog or their Instagram or something, so there's like a little bit of a connection to start with, but not, you don't necessarily have to have one. So
yeah, I would be hesitant to meet someone, let's say if they message me on Instagram and I like don't recognize their name and you know they have a private account or something. Yeah. Like, you want to be discoverable, you want to be socializing with that person already. You don't want to just go cold turkey, hey, want to meet me for coffee? Because let's face it, it's the internet.
Yeah.
There are murderers out there. Nobody wants to die. Mm-hmm. So
how many murder sewists do you think are out there?
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Right?
Like,
you
making,
never
like,
know. I watch Dateline. I listen to true crime podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
It could happen to anyone, Helen.
Oh, that's true.
I don't want to be on the next episode of like Sword and Scale or whatever. Mm-hmm. So let's just be real.
Yeah, I think just be friendly and like don't like expect necessarily that it's going to work out. And also like don't put, like you said, too much pressure. Like coffee date is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't suggest that you like take a trip out of town together or something. Be reasonable, people.
Yeah, be reasonable and be nice.
And
if someone says no, don't take it personally. There could be a million different reasons why someone declines your offer to meet up.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you don't.
They
you
might
know,
be shy.
Yeah, they might just be shy. They might be busy. They might have something going on that they don't even want to tell you about. So they might just say no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good, guys.
Yeah.
There are plenty of sewing fish in the sea.
That old chestnut. Okay, so you can meet up with one person or you could organize a meetup.
Yeah.
If you don't have a meetup community already in your city, you could start one for sewing. It's hard to get sewers together to actually sew because of the whole needing a sewing machine mm-hmm. thing. So think outside the box a bit. Like maybe you just meet up and you wear something that you've made. That's something I've definitely seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cocktail or frocktails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might wear a dress that you made or something like that, but also again, no pressure, right? So it's really about connecting with the people and not necessarily have to like wear something of a certain level of fanciness or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
What about online contests and like events and stuff? There's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can really dive in here.
Yeah, I know. We've got a huge list of notes with that. Yeah, there could be like a monthly event type thing where mm-hmm. every day you're posting a different photo. It could be a contest on a blog that you want to participate in. So they say, make this something with this theme, and then
yeah.
there are prizes at the end. There's all different ways to discover new people or be discovered.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite social sewing events?
I mean, obviously
Me Made May comes to mind.
I think it's the number one like way that people socialize.
Yeah.
Every May, like,
oh my God,
there's just this flood of people sharing what they're wearing every day. The whole idea of Me Made May is you basically are like pledging to wear something handmade every day. It could be one thing. It could be your whole outfit. You make your own rule. You're posting a picture of it every day, or you're posting a roundup of the week every week, and you are hashtagging it on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or wherever you share it. So that people can discover you. And it's like really, really fun because you're challenging yourself to wear handmade every day. It's a great way to like evaluate your wardrobe and find mm-hmm. holes in your wardrobe and socialize with other makers.
Yeah.
I love Me Made May. I've only done it once. You've done it more than once, hey?
A couple times, yeah.
And
I like am not the best at doing it for every day, but I really do try.
Yeah, it's hard. Like mm-hmm. posting every single day of the month
is really
hard.
I wear Me Made
really
every
hard.
Day, but it's the posting that I
yeah,
don't
it's
do.
The posting, yeah.
So I guess I'm totally doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites. I also love the like frantic sewing that happens before Me Made
Oh, yeah.
May, when people are like, oh my God, I need leggings. I need camisoles. I need cardigans.
Yeah.
Like everyday things. So that's always fun. And then it's really nice to see garments outside of the context of a blog, I find. Because when you're reading blog posts, it's like everything looks really nice. And like it's like the first time they've probably worn it outside. So
mm-hmm.
it's like pristine.
And it's like you're spotlighting that one
yeah.
garment, right? Where
Me Made May. Yeah, it's like a mix up of different garments. Or it's like that garment maybe is like a couple years old now, so you can see how it wore over time or how the fabric wore over time. So it's definitely like, yeah, probably my favorite one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's also like a monthly events like Sew Photo Hop.
Mm-hmm.
That's
in September, so it's coming up.
Yeah. And then the first one that like that happened that I remember was BP Sewvember. So
yes.
That is
Amanda
from Bimble and Pimble yep. is her Instagram name. We'll link it in the show notes, of course. And she did like, it was like, I think it was November. And so she had basically a picture with prompts for every day of the month. So every day had like a different little theme, and then you had to post a picture, obviously sewing related, for that day.
Yeah.
So things like,
well, usually the first one's like hello, so you introduce yourself, and then it'll be like solids or stripes, or you know, like something like that, and then
favorite book, or you know, favorite sewing book or whatever.
So, and so Photo Hop is the same format, so you'll get a prompt every day, and then that's when you share, and there's often prizes, so you can really clean up if you get chosen randomly for these hashtags that you use.
They're really fun, and some of them are more general, some of them are more themed, like right now Braugust is going on.
I love the names hosted,
I know, hosted by, I think it's TaylorMade Shop, right? So that's all bra making lingerie related.
Don't roll your eyes at me, I'm hilarious.
And then is Sew Together for Summer a monthly one?
No, Sew Together for Summer, this was the first year it happened, and it was really cute. It was three people, Rococo Sienna, sewing in Spain, and Sew Sarah Smith, got together and online and came up with this contest, and it was a Sew Together for Summer. I think it will happen next year as well, hopefully. And basically, they chose a shirt dress to be the first, the inaugural challenge. So you just made a shirt dress for summer, and it really took off.
Was it a specific pattern or just a shirt dress?
Any shirt dress pattern.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So you're sewing this one type of garment, and then everybody shares. And then was there, were there prizes at the end?
Yes, there were prizes. I think they gave out maybe three different like bundle-y kind of things, I think. Okay. Go check it out.
Go check it out.
Yeah, you can go check out the hashtag Sew Together for Summer. And yeah, I hope that one comes back because that was really fun.
One exciting event or thing that's coming back is the Sew Weekly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So if you've been around in like the sewing community for a while, the Sew Weekly used to be a website.
Yeah, she's doing, basically it's a weekly challenge that you can participate in if you so choose, and you can use the hashtag Sew Weekly and tag her in your posts on Instagram to participate in the challenge. Obviously a weekly challenge is like ambitious for most people. Myself included. So I don't think the expectation is that everyone is going to participate every week, right? It's like you join in when you want to or the ones that interest you. But there's always going to be something there, which is great.
Yeah. Her name is Mina Lazar. And her personal Instagram, or her like sewing personal Instagram, is Make This Look.
And another thing that's come back is the Socialist.
The Socialist. Tell us about that. I don't know much about the Socialist.
So Jillian from Crafting a Rainbow and the Curvy Sewing Collective, she has started up again the Socialist, which she used to run, I think, a year or two ago. I'm not sure on the dates, but anyway, it's basically a monthly challenge. So she'll be posting a broad topic for that month. August was Tribute Month. So you would make an outfit or a garment that was a nice tribute to someone that you admire online, someone's style, or like maybe they always choose a certain kind of fabric and you want to sort of emulate that and just pay a little homage to them. So I don't know what September's going to be, but I'm looking forward to it.
That's exciting. So does it have a website or is it just on Instagram?
Socialists.com.
But there is a website.
There is a website and there's an Instagram. Check that out.
Cool. Also, there are like some big ones like the Refashioners.
Ooh, the Refashioners.
The Refashioners.
I love the Refashioners. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So that's run by Portia from the Makery, and it happens usually around this time of year. I think this year it's September, October. So basically she'll give a specific kind of garment or a textile that everyone will use for their refashion, and then you kind of go through your wardrobe or your and as is often the case, your partner's wardrobe and take their clothes that they don't want anymore and turn them into something new. So last year it was denim or jeans, and this year it is suits.
And then the fun thing about the Refashioners is that there's also some like celebrity bloggers that participate, right? So kind of sewing personalities in the community. She picks a group, I think it's 10, and they do the Refashioners challenge and they share it on the Makery
website.
Blog.
Yeah.
website. So you sort of get to see some examples of what people are doing. And then there's also the community challenge with a bunch of prizes.
Oh, yeah. The prizes for this one are so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really, it's a big really event, awesome. So. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to follow along with that starting in September.
I think plans for mine.
Yeah. Already. Portia's got some stuff on her blog now. So by the time you guys listen to this, you'll be able to go and probably experience the challenge already, because yeah, it'll be like mid-September when this episode comes out. So cool beans.
That's all that I had on my list for social events. I'm sure there's so many of them. And if you want to start a social event, like, you do not by any means need to be like big or like have a huge following. Like, you can start like a little small one and it might grow into something huge.
Yeah.
I mean, not all the months are taken, so as long as you've got like a pun in mind.
We love a good pun over here.
Love a good sewing pun.
So should we touch a little bit on social media etiquette?
Yes.
I think we've talked about it like briefly in this episode, but we wanted to kind of get into the nitty gritty of etiquette.
Because is there like a right way to do it?
Yeah, that's a big part of this, I think, is like you want to be respectful and you want to be considerate.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when it comes to social media etiquette, like, I don't think there are any hard and fast rules. We already talked a little bit about when it's appropriate to give feedback. What about when it's appropriate to share someone else's content?
Yes. That's something we definitely wanted to touch on. Mm-hmm. So regramming is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. This, we're talking about Instagram. So you might, let's say as a business, see someone make something that you really love out of your pattern or your fabric and want to repost that picture on your feed so that your followers can see it. That might also apply to a personal account. If you see something super inspiring on someone's feed and you want to repost it so that your followers can see it, that's a thing. People do it all the time. Now, personally, I've recently kind of reevaluated things a little bit for myself and decided that I'm going to start asking people before I repost their photo. Previously, I would just kind of think to myself, like, if they're putting it out there, they don't have a private account, they're hashtagging it with, you know, the Blackbird Fabrics hashtag, or they're tagging me in it, it's kind of like an invitation to repost their picture. But I've sort of shifted my thinking a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is important to get people's permission to repost their content, and especially if it's somebody's personal account.
Yeah.
So I'm asking either in the comments or via direct message. And that's kind of like a new thing that I've decided that I'm going to do.
Yeah. I like this plan. I think I'm going to do the same, because I've done a mix in the past. Every once in a while I'll ask, especially like you said, if the account seems to be a little bit more personal oriented, if they don't have a blog, you know, like, you can kind of get a sense for if someone really wants their pictures out there, if they don't, and you use your gut instinct on that. I think designers and fabric shops do both ways and use both methods. So there isn't a hard and fast rule, but I definitely think that being asked is nice, and almost like 100% of the time people are going to say yes.
Yeah.
They want to be asked and they want to be shared. And it, like, it's a nice way to just double check.
Totally. I think it's always a good idea to ask. And since we're on the subject of socializing, you're asking somebody to repost their photo. It's like an invitation to have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be flattered, or they might say no, but you're kind of like opening up the dialogue. I asked somebody last week if I could repost her photo, and we're having coffee on Monday, you know? Like, it's just, I think it's a great idea to ask.
Yeah, particularly, I think, as a business, if you are taking someone's image and using it to promote your product, that it's even more important to ask, just to cover your own butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the, just like socially and etiquette wise, but also legally.
Yeah. Legally. Yeah. And just, you know, if there's any kind of fallout from that situation, that could be a bumpy road that you don't really want to go down. So you might as well just double check.
Yeah. And same thing if you're going, like, we're not just talking regramming Instagram to Instagram. If you're going and taking an image from someone's Instagram and posting it on your blog or website, or vice versa, ask. Just ask. Another point of etiquette, I think, is like replies.
Yeah.
Do you reply to every comment that you get?
No, I do not. And I don't get a lot of replies on my comments that I post. So I think, I mean, for me, I've always viewed it as like, I love getting the comments. I read all the comments. But, you know, unless someone's asking me a direct question or like makes a really insightful point, Or someone like says something that I want to engage with, I won't reply if they're just like cute or great or looks awesome. Yeah. And I don't think that people expect replies to those comments.
Yeah, especially now that Instagram has added the like or heart feature with comments. You can just kind of like the comment to acknowledge that you've seen it.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to go in and type some kind of like a canned response.
Yeah.
But I will say, if someone asks a question directly to you, I think it is important to reply.
Especially a direct message from a story. I usually, I'm way more likely to reply to that than I am to the comments. And same on the blog. I'm better on the blog about replying to the comments, even the ones where people are like, I love this or looks cute, just because I don't know, it's like a my space and I want to make sure that I'm like maintaining it and doing a good job interacting there. And some people take a lot of time out of their day to write these amazing comments.
Yeah.
And this is where I want to do my shout out. Psychic Sewer Kathleen, she lives in Victoria over on the island, and she comments on all of my blog posts with like the sweetest comments, and I've seen her commenting on everyone's blog posts.
I have also seen her comment,
and she leaves these long comments that are really insightful and sweet, and like I mean it's so nice when people take the time to make those long comments, but I don't expect it. And I do think, you know, you hear all the time like blogging is dying and blogging is changing, and like, yes, it's definitely changing. I don't think it's dying personally, but there is a shift to social media for that social interaction portion of it. So I don't think people are commenting as much on blogs, and that's totally okay by me. Okay, so we talked about regramming, we talked about criticizing, we talked about replies. Is there any other Instagram etiquette items we want to touch on?
I mean, not that I can think of off the top of my head. How about you?
No, I mean, I don't think there's like a definitive right or wrong way to use social media. So you have to define your own boundaries and do what feels comfortable for you. If you get a lot of comments, you can't reply to them all, that's fine. If you want to scroll through the feed and not like any of the photos, that's fine. Like, it's all good. Just don't be rude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I like to think like when I'm commenting or interacting with somebody online, I always like to think, would I say this to this person and if I were face to face with them?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then don't write it online, you guys.
Yeah.
Just be nice to people.
Yeah. And we're so lucky in the sewing community that there are so few trolls, as they're called.
True.
And people making negative, I mean, they exist, but like way less than I think other communities.
Definitely. Yeah, as a community, I think it's a overall a very positive place to be.
Let's keep the sewing community clean.
Yeah. If you want to follow Love to Sew on Instagram, our handle is lovetosew.podcast. But if you just search Love to Sew Podcast, you'll find us.
Yeah.
And we'll be posting and storying. Yeah. And
we're sharing that account, so you'll see both of us on there from time to time.
Totally.
And maybe even together.
Exactly. So I'm really excited for you guys to follow us, and we'll follow you back, and it'll be super fun.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
It's starting. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me on Instagram at Helen's_closet and check out my sewing patterns and blog at helenscloset.ca.
And I'm on Instagram at Blackbird Fabrics. You can also follow my personal account, Caroline Somos, and my online shop is blackbirdfabrics.com.
We are recording today in hazy and hot Vancouver, Canada. You can find show notes for this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
How do you socialize? Do you have any funny or awkward stories about connecting with another sewist on the internet? We want to hear your stories. Leave us a voicemail. You can reach us at 1-844-SEW-WHAT. That's 1-844-739-9428. Or email us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com.
And did you know that we have a newsletter? You can go to lovetosewpodcast.com, look for the big teal box, and sign up to get news and weekly episodes delivered straight to your inbox.
Thank you so much for listening this week, you guys. We had so much fun talking about socializing with you. And we will talk to you next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dance party. Woohoo! Sorry, that was...
water tastes so bad.
Is that the water from the fridge?
Yeah.
I was going to say something. Tastes bad.
It tastes bad, right? It
tastes like salami.
What? I think my Brita filter is like off. Okay.
Whoa, way to derail.
Back to the episode.